Imagine your family, one by one, your family members dying from an incurable disease. That's the subject of the book of my next guest. Gina Colata joins us, a New York Times reporter. She's the author of Mercies in Disguise, A Story of Hope, A Family's Genetic Destiny, and the Science That Rescued Them. Gina, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thank you so much. I'm really pleased to be able to talk to you. I totally love this story. I love the family because they managed to find ways of dealing with things that are devastating and to find hope where other people might just sort of give up. So
the disease,
it's
was
an amazing story.
Yeah, it was the prion disease. Is that what it's called? What was that? That's what was right. happening to them?
What happened? They didn't know. One person got sick. The grandfather of the girl that's sort of the second half of the book. And no one knew what it was. No doctor could figure it out. Nobody could figure it out. And then they traced this disease back by just sort of trying to do a family tree, calling, saying anybody die of something unusual in the family. Traced it back 5 generations, realized it was inherited, figured out on their own when no one else could by a story that sounds so incredible that it sounds like fiction. What it was, they were right. And it turns out that there's a mutated gene. If you inherit that mutation, and if one of your parents had it, you have a 50% chance of getting it.
How do you actually die? I mean, what happens?
What happens when you die?
Yeah.
Well, what happens is this disease robs you of everything. You start out losing coordination. You're starting to stumble and weave. Pretty soon you can't walk, you can't talk, you can't swallow. It takes away everything. It's really a difficult, devastating disease with no cure, no treatment. But there is, as this family discovered, once they found out what it was, a genetic test that could tell you, are you going to get it or not? And that was not easy to decide what you want to do.
Gina Colata with us. Her brand new book, Mercies in Disguise, of this family is the Baxleys. How did you end up, how did they get a hold of you to let you pursue the story?
I got a hold of them, and I can't believe they let me tell their story, to tell you the truth. I wrote a story for the New York Times about Amanda Baxley, Amanda Kalinsky, that's her married name, who had decided the disease was going to stop with her. And she used a medical procedure to make sure that her kids would not get it. And it was kind of an ethical dilemma type thing. So everybody was writing in saying, I don't know, would you not have a kid, but they're not going to get a disease till middle age, blah, blah. Other people saying, look, if you could save a kid, if you could have a kid that wouldn't have a disease, wouldn't you? So anyway, it was just it was a page one story, but it was just a little story. And then I was fascinated by the story. I met Amanda, I met her family, and I realized there's so much more to it than that. This is a story, a friend read it and said, it's fiction, right? And I said, it's not. It's actually, it's hard to believe it's true, but this family story is like a saga that it's got mystery and suspense and a family that is just lovable.
How do they deal with it? I mean, as one member after another dies from this, how do they deal with it emotionally?
Oh, my gosh. It's very, very difficult. It's hard to see this, hard to be with this. And they have a lot of faith, and they did a lot of praying, and they did a lot of supporting of each other. They also, it's also interesting when some people got the gene test and found out they didn't have it, they felt really guilty for being the survivor. Wow. So you feel bad no matter what way you go.
And Amanda herself, does she have the gene?
She has the gene.
Okay.
She does.
And how old is she now? Or about how old?
She's in her early 30s.
Okay.
And she wanted to know if she was going to have, if she had the gene. And she didn't think she did. And then she was tested. Her boyfriend, the day she found out she had it, asked her to marry him. He didn't want to leave her at a time like that. I mean, this is just sort of chilling. This family is amazing.
At what age is she likely going to be affected by this?
She probably has another 10 to 20 years.
Wow, that's soon. And there's nothing to stop it at this point.
At this point, there isn't, although I think everybody, including me, is extremely hopeful that maybe something will come up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there'll be a way by the time it's looming for her. But it's interesting, you have this test and you think you know what's going to happen. You think you know how you react either way.
Mm-hmm.
And in my epilogue, my book, I have Amanda talks about what's it like to live with this knowledge. And it's not what she would have thought. I mean, it hardens her in a way.
And hardens her? How so?
It hardens her because all this, you know, little things don't matter so much anymore. Mm-hmm. And you have to make, she feels like she has to make every day count. She has three little kids, and it's like you can't just sort of laze around and watch TV all day because you don't have that many days. It makes you into kind of a different person than you expected you'd be.
How many family members did she see die from this?
She saw her grandfather, her two uncles, and an aunt and a cousin.
Okay.
That's a lot of people. And it was, oh, and her father. Oh, my gosh, how could I forget her father? Mm-hmm. Her father, that was the saddest of all for her, for a lot of people. But it was a very difficult
thing. So when the family members begin to die from this, they know that's happening, right? Because they've seen other members go down.
And they know what's happening.
What do they do with the remaining months they have alive?
Well, Amanda's father was the beloved family doctor in their town, and he wanted to practice as long as he could. So at first he kind of hid his symptoms because he had to have the nurses write his prescriptions for him. But eventually he had to close his office, and his wife took care of him, and the family was close to him and tried to support him, but there's not much you can do. You know, you can't. After a while, even he was communicating because he couldn't talk with an alphabet board. Mm-hmm. After a while, he couldn't even coordinate his hands to communicate that way. Mm-hmm. So he said, how do you deal with it? It's hard. It's really, really hard.
Gina Colada, the book is Mercies in Disguise. You say that so there was a way to stop the children from getting it. Was that a complicated procedure?
It was very expensive, and Amanda and her husband really had to save up for it. But what they do is they do in vitro fertilization. Now they have a bunch of embryos, and they test each embryo to see if it has the gene, and then they discard the ones that have it. And that's was very, very difficult for her because half her embryos had to be essentially thrown away.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, your potential children are gone. So that was a difficult situation.
Gina Colada, New York Times reporter Gina Colada, her brand new book tells the saga, the story, and it is all true, nonfiction, of this family that went through this incredible experience, horrifying experience. Mercies in Disguise, Mercies in Disguise, a story of hope, a family's genetic destiny, and the science that rescued them. Gina Colada on WILS. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.